I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 1 from verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigour. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and did all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigour. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Amen. Well, this evening, as you might imagine, I would like to speak on two women. Two women we might not normally recall in terms of their names, Shiphrah and Puah. Well, usually I speak on one bit part of scripture. Tonight you get two for the price of one. In reality, you could only speak on the two of them together. The two midwives who dared defy the king of Egypt. There is some controversy always about this passage. They do appear in verse 19 to lie. And having led a number of Bible studies at this chapel on this passage, I can confirm that there are different points of view. Some would say, well, they never lied. Others, that they did lie and they were wrong. Others, that they lied and they were right. Well, it's difficult, isn't it? So we know that they're commanded to kill the children, but they don't. Pharaoh gets wind of it and asks them in verse 18, "Why have you disobeyed me?" effectively. And they say, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women." Well, that might be true. They were a different nationality, after all. But then they say, "They are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." I do find that a little bit hard to believe, that Egyptian women are very kind of sedate and wait patiently, and when the midwife arrives, then they gently give birth. But the Hebrew women are more vigorous, and, you know, out they pop before the midwife arrives. Is it a half-truth? Is it somewhat true? Is it a barefaced lie? And yet we are told in verse 20, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Furthermore, as it was, because the midwives feared God, he provided households for them." Midwives back then were generally considered to be older women, usually widows who did not have their own households to run, and they help younger women giving birth. And it seems to be, I think, that providing households for them, the Lord provided husbands for them. in their later years. So whatever they told Pharaoh, the Lord has not held it against them. Well, it might be intellectually interesting this evening to have a discussion on the rights and wrongs of always entirely telling the truth. I would say the overall witness of Scripture is that we ought to be truthful. You shall not bear false witness, and that we ought to be reliable in our speech. But rather than spend time speculating upon what these ladies may or may not have said and what their motives were, I would like to consider what we do know about them. Well, let's look at verse 17. So in verse 16, they've been commanded to do something which is wrong. However they respond to it, it is perfectly clear that to kill children, Shiphrah and Puah, know that that is wrong. Now the law has not yet been received by the children of Israel. Moses has not been given the tablets. But they know even then that murder is wrong. Murder did not become wrong at that point in Scripture when the law is given to Moses. The people knew it was wrong back then. And they've effectively been told to do something evil by a false god. Pharaoh claims to be God. We're told in verse 17, though, the midwives feared God. What, Pharaoh? No, the real God. The midwives feared God. We're sometimes told by preachers that when Scripture says to fear God, it doesn't really mean fear God. Well, I think it does. And we often quote it, but fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the sum or the entirety of wisdom. To have a rightful fear of God is a great foundation when we come to him and we realise he has a law. We realise that we've broken that law. We realise that we stand condemned by that law. And therefore, how the more wonderful it is that that same God of Sinai sent a saviour to Calvary who kept that law on our behalf and bore our punishment in our stead. These two ladies, and by the way, I don't think they were the only two midwives who went round all the hundreds of thousands of ladies of the Israelite community. I think they're in charge of the Midwife College, or the College of Midwifery, if you wish. Indeed. But they fear God, and their fear of God outweighs their fear of the government. And when you have a right view of God and you understand that he is righteous and pure and holy, and that to transgress his law is even worse and more dishonourable than breaking even the law of the land, then you will live aright. There was a time in this land when this gathering would have been illegal. According to the law, it was a conventicle not taking place in an Anglican church building, not led by an Anglican clergyman, and not reading the Book of Common Prayer. And we would all have been fined, well, you would have been fined a number of shillings, 5 shillings, I think, for your first offence, and I would have gone to jail for it. But people continued to meet. They broke that law because keeping God's law was more important. They feared God more than they feared Charles Stuart. So they had a rightful fear of God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. I imagine they did fear the king of Egypt. He is the most powerful man in the country. He's probably one of the most powerful men on the planet at that time. And he has a police force, he has an army at his beck and call. He's not a man to be trusted. And they do fear him. Who could not fear him? But they feared God more. Now we are told, as God-fearing folk, we ought to have a rightful regard for those in authority. On a Sunday morning, we often pray for the king and for the government, and that is rightly so. And we obey the government when there is no clash with Scripture. You might have noticed that there is a fire extinguisher in this room. As far as I can tell, we've never had a fire. It is something of a financial burden. We have to have it checked so often. You could, of course, argue it's there for a good reason. But it's there primarily because it is the law. And we obey the law. And we honour the king. And we pray for the government, no matter what its colour. But we fear God more. And that is why Shiphrah and Puah were great women of faith. They feared God, and they feared God more. Thirdly, they value life. It would seem they value the life of those infants even more than their own lives. Not many people defy Pharaoh and live to tell the tale. Well, not only do these two live to tell the tale, but they appear to get households out of it as well. It might imply they get families of their own, or perhaps second families of their own later in life, because they saved the lives of those who could not save themselves. And, you know, it is not too difficult, is it, to draw parallels between the Egypt of this at this time and the Britain in which we live, in which children, I believe it's 200 every day, are slaughtered. It would seem that the two ladies described in verse 15 had a higher regard for human life in ancient Egypt than our current government has in modern day Britain. So they value human life, and life, children in particular, but all life, of course, is a gift from God. Life is precious. Life has been given to us, not just that we might enjoy the lovely views and live a while here, but that also we might have eternal life, that we might walk with the Lord in the Garden of Eden, that we might have spiritual life. Jesus said, "I came to give them life and more abundantly." And I wonder if, even in their kind of incomplete, ancient Old Testament kind of theology, they understood that to honour God, to preserve life and honour God, is more precious, more vital, more important than even preserving their life. Because when Pharaoh calls them back in, there is a real danger that they're going to leave on stretchers or in coffins. But in fact, they stand up to him. And again, that expression, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. It could, of course, be true. I'm not entirely sure how to interpret that, nor how to apply it. I certainly wouldn't want anybody to leave this meeting and say, it's okay to tell a porcupine, God will bless us anyway, if our motives are right. Actually, the end does not justify the means. We ought to be faithful and godly and righteous and true in our methods and in our speech, as well as in the outcomes. But what we have here, whatever the controversy of verse 19, what we have here are two women who stand up to a very powerful man because they have a greater regard for the one true God. And the point I'd make in closing, as well as receiving household and the fact that the Lord dealt well with those midwives, he approved of them. He honoured them because they honoured him. From a historical point of view, there's always a disappointment about Exodus chapter 1 that we don't know the name of the Pharaoh. People write entire books on which one it might be. We've all got our theories, well, some people have. But the Pharaoh is not named. I've come to the conclusion he's not named deliberately. But these two women are. They are remembered because they did the right thing. He is forgotten because he wanted them to do the wrong thing. May we learn from them. May we understand that to fear God is the right course of action. to honour God more even than the king, more even than an employer, more even than somebody held in high regard, is always the right thing to do. Amen.